Welcome to The Divorce Social with me, Samantha Baines, changing the conversation around divorce. This show is sponsored by Penguin in the Room. Penguin in the Room is an award-winning arts marketing and social media management company. If you want to jazz up your socials and have someone Instagram and tweet for you, then here's your answer. Go to www.penguinintheroom.com. As always, hit subscribe to make sure you're updated about new episodes. And we love to hear from you on social media at DivorcePod and at Samantha Baines. You can also email us. All the info's on our website, thedivorcesocial.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I am joined by Karen Hauer, Strictly Come Dancing professional dancer. Karen, welcome to the Divorce Club.
Hello. I love the Divorce Club.
You're very welcome as a member.
Thank you. I'm a professional divorcee.
And they're all D's, dancers, divorcee.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for having me. I think this is going to be a good topic for me to talk about. I haven't touched up on this almost never, actually, which is nice. So thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. So how does that feel when I say to you, you're a member of the Divorce Club, you're divorced?
Oh, you know what? I feel experienced. I feel quite experienced when that word comes out. I don't really think about it because it doesn't seem like, you know, real in a way. It's like, oh my God, I've actually been divorced a couple of times now. But no, I feel it's a word that I don't actually use a lot. So whenever I do hear it, is a little bit like, oh yeah, I've been through a lot. It's one of those. I've been through a lot.
So that's interesting, because I think a lot of people, like, I remember when I said I was divorced for the first time, the word itself is really scary, isn't it? Do you try to disassociate from that word?
Not really. Like, I don't mind saying it. Like, if I'm starting to like date someone or I meet someone for the first time and then I say like, oh, I'm divorced, like I don't see their expression change or something, but it does feel a bit weird for me to say it. But then if they don't like flinch or anything, or they don't go, oh, that's weird, like it's okay. I mean, I think it's all about the experience, right? I feel like if I'm okay with saying it, then why shouldn't people be okay with it? You know, it's part of life. It's part of a relationship. And it's part of being grown up in a way. You know, you go through relationships, you break up. It's like when someone says, I've broken up, they don't go weird about it. But when you say divorce, it's like, oh, it's, you know, it's scary. Oh, she's been divorced. So maybe things went wrong. And it's like, no, it's just things don't work out, period. You know, that's it. Well, I guess that's the way I see it now.
I like what you said about if you tell someone on a date and they don't flinch. Because it is, I found when I'm on dates and I have to like break the news of the fact I'm divorced, I have a hearing aid as well. So I have hearing loss. So I feel like I have to break a lot of news to them. And it is that, like, you're working up to it and then you're worried about how they'll react. But I haven't had a flinch yet. Have you?
No, no flinches. But I guess when you go, I've been divorced twice, you're like, I'm almost on my second divorce. It hasn't fully gone through yet. But it is one of those that you're like, oh, yeah, I was married my ex-husband. And then I go, oh, and my ex-husband. And then I just broke up with my boyfriend as well. So I'm a whole bunch. I'm like just broken. Like it's just like people just go, so how many relationships have you been in? How old are you? And I'm like, I am 75. I feel like I'm 75. I feel like I've gone through like massive amounts of like, you know, relationships, and then I marry them and then I divorce them. So it's just a bit like, but no flinches and no weirdness, which in a way shows maturity from the other people that I'm, you know, that I'm meeting, which is quite nice.
Yeah, definitely. So do you want to take us back to your first divorce experience? How long ago was that?
My first divorce, I married my high school sweetheart. And, you know, I met him when I was in school. And it was I think I got divorced. Oh, wow. Here we go. I'm going to take the fingers out to start counting. The fingers are out. I'm going to do little stick figures. I think 2007 was when I got divorced. I got married. Like we were together for about 10 years. And we were married only for 2 years. And I think it was for me, you know, going into that marriage, I guess he was my first like love, you know, like the guy that I was like, oh my God. This is the guy that I never really thought. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to have this big wedding or anything. Like, I'm not that kind of girl. But it was one of those that I was like, you know, it all happened when we were young and we were growing up together. And then the natural thing was to get married because that's what you do. I mean, I was a baby. I was what, 23, 24. And I was a baby. I had no idea, but I just knew that I wanted to be with him. But yeah, it was like 2007 when it kind of all just cracked open. And I think it was mainly because I was never ready. I wasn't ready. We weren't ready to face what was happening. And it was interesting because you don't get married to get divorced. You don't actually go into marriage to like go, oh, I'm going to, you know, get, you know, I'm going to stop this at some point. You kind of go, this is the person I'm going to have a family with. I'm going to grow up with and have experiences with. And I felt that I was growing apart from him. He had this pattern where he wanted to go straight forward with it. You know, this thing, he wanted to just live life, which is nice. I mean, you know, home and teaching and having a family. And I kind of wanted to go the completely different way. I wanted to, you know, discover what my life was about, my talents, you know, what else was out there. And it was me who instigated everything and ended the marriage. But I also had a lot of things that I had to deal with personally. And so it wasn't just because I fell out of love with him or I wanted to do other things. It was because I was carrying a lot of emotional things from when I was a kid and things that I hadn't dealt with. And I think that all kind of snowballed into this big, you know, I felt like I was carrying around this tumor on my back that I hadn't dealt with and I hadn't gotten it checked out in a way. It was all consuming me. And I felt like I needed to let go of everything. And letting go of my marriage was one of the first things because I didn't think that it would be fair to be with someone when I was having so much trouble within me.
I love that description of it felt like a tumor on your back. I think I can definitely relate to that. I'm kind of imagining me lying in my marital bed with a big tumor on my back and my husband on the other side trying to spoon me, but the tumor's getting in the way. I can so relate to what you're saying because my dad died just before we got married. So we had like an early marriage so he could be there. And then the big wedding, my dad wasn't there. And then I was doing all this work on myself through the grief. And I wanted to go in a completely different direction from what my ex wanted to go in. So I think that's an interesting one. And why do you think
Because people always say to me, because I was with my ex for 8 years overall, 6 years, and then we were married for 2 years. And people always say to me, why do you think the marriage was so short? So why, and I'll ask it to you, why do you think you were together for so long, but then once you got married, that was it?
I think that's when the actual truth hits you, like right in the face. Like you're like, because when we were dating, you know, it was, you know, he was going to college and I was, you know, a personal trainer in New York. You know, I was, you know, we both had like different lives in a way. We were still dancing together, but, you know, he had his own thing and I had my own thing. And I was a little bit more free in a way. I had liberty. And then we broke up a couple of times and then we got back together and it was a bit like volatile, but it was exciting. And then when we got married, and remember, we got married on like Thanksgiving and it was very casual, you know, very casual. I was wearing like I didn't even wear like a wedding dress. It was just like a nice little pretty like mint colored dress and just my hair back and like just some flowers. And it was just my family. It was just like, you know, tiny. And then we moved in together. We had our place. You know, and then we would working in a dance studio teaching and then coming home and I was cooking. Well, I couldn't really cook at that time. So I was a bit, you know, not as domestic as I am now, but it just felt like it was like home studio. And it just became that. And there wasn't that excitement for me anymore. And there wasn't like, and for me, like the way that I was brought up with my mom, like for me, my mom being a single mom and me not actually growing up, seeing that structure with my parents, you know, my parents divorced and it was very intense, you know, they had a really intense relationship throughout their whole marriage and divorce. And it was just messy. So I never really knew what a marriage was supposed to look like. You know, I never saw it. I never experienced it. I just experienced seeing, you know, dishes flying around in the kitchen when we were in Venezuela, you know, a lot of fights. So it was a lot of fights and stuff. So for me, not having that liberty and not having that extra, you know, excitement, and just it became very structured, just, you know, same old. It left me kind of thinking about what else I wanted to do. And it kept, and then it started bringing stuff from the past. And I think that's how it kind of just started disintegrating. I don't think it was a thing like, actually my previous marriage as well was only like 2 years. So it's funny that it's after those 2 years that everything kind of just starts going downhill. And I don't have the right explanation for it. I just think that sometimes it becomes too repetitive and there's no, you get used to being, oh, that person's there now. That person's there. So I don't have to try hard. I don't have to do anything else. I don't have to do anything excitement because I married them. They know. And I'm like, no, I don't ever want that. I don't ever want to feel like that, that person's just there because I married them and that they should get used to it, that my love is their love no matter what. Like, I want to be excited and I want to feel you there vibrating next to me. But yeah, I have no idea. Like 2 years for both marriages, it's the lucky number. So hopefully.
So if you get married again and they get over 2 years, they'll be like,
oh no,
I won. I think, yeah. It's funny because I'm 2 years as well, what it is. And I can definitely see for me, it was that like, yeah, the repetitive thing. And then also you're like, oh, this is my life now. I don't know if I want this to be my life, actually, you know. And I think there's all the excitement before, isn't there, where you move in together and you have planned the wedding and all, there's lots going on. And then you're like living together in a house and you're married. And you're like, oh, what now? We have babies, I guess. So you said that you didn't have the structure when you were younger. You didn't see what a married couple, you know, should be. Do you think you know what that is now?
I have a better understanding of what it is that I want and what I want to build as my own instead of picturing somebody else's life or somebody else's, you know, dream in a way. What a marriage is supposed to look like. I mean, every marriage is different. Every relationship is different. And I think that I've been trying to find out about myself a lot more now, especially going, you know, after my second marriage ended, in which for me, that was extremely hurtful. Like that one hurt a lot because I didn't want to let go of that marriage. And it wasn't either of our faults in a way, because from our perspective, you know, again, I was with this person for 9 years as well. So I'm a long-term kind of girl. Like I find someone that I love and I just put all my eggs in there in that little basket. And I just wait for them to hatch. And, you know, I didn't want to let go of that marriage. And for me, that was like, that was it. That marriage was like, oh, this is what it's supposed to be. You know, you have someone that you're working with, that you're compatible with. And then again, just because of outside, a lot of things that were going, you know, a lot of things that were going around us that we didn't have control over, because we didn't know how to control what was going on within us as well. And when you bring other factors in, whether it's family, whether it's work, whether it's your ambition of where you want to go with your career or anything like that, it starts really messing with you if you're not stable as a person or as a couple. I wasn't stable. You know, it took me years to start realizing what was wrong with me. Not that there was anything wrong with me. It was just like, what was I doing within these relationships that was causing a lot of pain for me? And I was volatile. I was, you know, there were certain things that I didn't understand because I just wanted to be loved and I just wanted to love and I wanted to protect my relationship because it was the best thing, you know, the best person I found. And it was all going as planned. And that was my thing, protecting, keeping that little, you know, thing. And then when things started kind of like seeping through, I didn't like it. And we both didn't know how to handle things. And I will never blame him or myself. I think just the circumstances weren't right. And then the relationship just broke down completely, just disintegrated right in front of my eyes. And it took me a long time to connect with myself in the correct way of like, you know, I'm very good at going into a project and forgetting about everything. Like if I have a project, if I have a tour that I have to plan, I will go into this tour. I will create everything. I will design everything. I will do all the exercises in the world. I will help everybody else. But I wasn't actually giving myself time to recover, to heal, to understand why I was dealing with, oh, I couldn't deal with it. Why I couldn't let go of this love that I had. And the best thing that I did was get therapy and started to understand myself and understand what I want from a relationship. And I'm still on trying to understand. You know, I'm single, you know, I'm, you know, date here and there. Not really. I don't even know. I mean, how can you date right now? You can't. But I'm trying to find out about myself. I'm not trying to expect anything from people. I just have standards now. You know, I have standards about what I want for myself. And I think that's for me, that's where I have to start building, because before I was like, oh, this is going to be great. You know, this guy likes me. I like him. Blah, blah, blah. Nah, that's just superficial. It has to be deeper than that. And I think I feel bad for the next person that's going to date me because I'm going to be like, okay, listen, this is what's going to be now. Okay. So I need you to understand me and I'll understand you. And we need to work together in this. Because I just have to be real with myself now. But do I have a better understanding? Yeah, now I do. I feel like I'm learning, slowly delving into myself and not being as afraid, even though it is terrifying. It's terrifying being in a relationship sometimes because you have no idea what the other person's thinking. I have no idea. But all you can do is, you know, just go with the flow with what you feel is the best for you. So, yeah, I mean, do you have any tips?
I mean, no. I've been divorced, and now I had a I talk a lot on the podcast about my sexual explosion post my divorce, where I just had a lot of sex and orgasms, which was great. And I saw a therapist as well. So I guess and that period of time for me was about like just going with the flow, and like, you know, as long as everyone was consensual and we wanted to do the thing, I just did it. Whereas I think before I was, you know, overthinking things a lot. I've calmed down a bit now. I mean, I'm locked in my house, but
no, but you know what? Like, I had an explosion as well of like everything, partying, you know. I think that sometimes if I'm single, it's very dangerous, because and I think at that time, emotionally, I wasn't stable emotionally. I just wanted to do whatever the hell I wanted to do. You know, I wanted to party. I wanted to be out. And I wanted, you know, it's just like a rebel, like I was rebelling against myself, rebelling against the person that I was with, trying to show them like, oh, look, I can do that too. And it's just like, no, I was just kind of trying to forget about what I was feeling by numbing it with partying and with, you know, going out and having a couple cocktails, too many cocktails, you know, and just kind of inserting myself into work and just, but it was like, yes, you know, I dated a couple of people within that moment, and it just felt empty. I just felt empty at the end of it all, because I still had to face myself in the mirror every morning, and I still had to look at myself and go, what are you doing? You know, but I'm thankful that I did do all that partying, because I mean, I had a good time, and I have great, you know, and I had a good time, but also I started seeing who my real circle around me was that was actually helping me. And I had one of my friends, she stopped me, you know, after like 3 months of like partying, she stopped me and she's like, okay, you need to get yourself together now. And it was just like a little slap in the wrist, and that's all I needed. And I was like, actually, you're right. What am I doing? I have to get myself together. And that's when you kind of, again, pick yourself up and you know, you discipline yourself. You try to discipline yourself as much as you can.
It's so funny. I had my sister, she stayed with me immediately after the breakup, and she gave me that slap on the wrist, but her slap on the wrist was, you've got to have a shower and change your pants because you stink. It was after like 3 or 4 days where I'd just been like crying and wallowing in the same clothes, and she was like, you must wash yourself, please.
You know what the worst part is? When you go to sleep and you literally cry yourself to sleep, you cry yourself to sleep, you have this pain, and it's like this pain, and for me, like, emotion, I like to feel emotions, you know, I'm a very emotional person, but this pain that you have, that you can't breathe, that you're just like, you go to sleep, you have a dream that you're still with the person, that everything's okay, and then you wake up and you get that pain back, because you know it was just a dream, and you've actually are not with that person anymore, and your house is empty. Everything is not the same anymore. And it's just facing that reality that was awful in the first couple of months, that reality of like, I've just lost my best friend. I've just lost my love. I've just lost, what did I do? So you start questioning yourself, what did I do? What did it? And then there comes a point where you're like, okay, yes, I did do that. I need to fix that. I need to get help to be able to do that. But It is that moment when you start realizing what you need to take care of. Well, for me, it was that I needed to just deal with my everything that had gone in my past, everything that I'd seen with my family, and what I did in that relationship that affected it, and how I was going to improve in that, and how I was going to make a change. I don't want to change as a person, but I want to adjust certain things. And, you know, being a Latina New Yorker, I can get very feisty. I can get very intense, you know, when I'm fighting. But I learned how to talk and I learned how to listen. I wasn't listening.
Yeah, I totally agree with what you said about you can't change a person, but you can adjust it. I imagine like a person is like a radio. You can't change the radio, but you can slightly tune the frequencies. So as we get older, we go to more towards the like classical FM and gold stations as opposed to...
Instead of capital.
Yeah, exactly. But capital's useful just after a breakup.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you, so it seems like your first divorce and marriage was sort of a less maybe painful from what you've explained scenario, and your most recent experience, which is obviously still quite raw, was the hurtful one. Can you take us through like logistically what happened? Like, were you still in the house that you shared, or did you move out, or you know, what was
of the second one?
Yeah, what was the feeling of that breakup?
Well, when you work with your husband, you know, I worked with my ex for 9 years. Ever since we started dating, we were always together. You know, you're always together, traveling the world together. And then when you start a new job, you know, we settled here in London, and it was exciting, you know, it's brilliant. You know, you have this whole new world starting out. And then when things, you know, six years down the line, things started kind of just going wrong. Little things, you know, that you're like, just like a phone call. Oh, you didn't call me the whole day. Oh, okay, that's fine. You're working. I'm working too. We're working the same job, but I take time to call you. Okay, great. Or, hey, why are you like, you know, sometimes I would get you're not very kind. You're not very nice. And I was just like, what do you mean? I don't understand. And then, you know, I can be very intense. You know, if I'm in my private life, I like to keep things private, or like there's certain times that I don't want to be the smiley face. You know, I'm just normal. I just want to be normal on my days off where I'm home. You know, so there was like little attacks that we would do to each other, or, you know, I have to really focus on my job, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm focusing on my job too, but I have time to come home and cook and clean and do all the other stuff. So can't you, you know, give me a little bit, you know? So it started kind of the balance off, and then the fights, you know, I was getting jealous, but I was only jealous because I wasn't getting the attention that I wanted from my husband. And then I didn't understand why. So I just started kind of like trying to grip at him, trying to pull him. Why are you not doing this? Why are you not doing that? Exactly what you're not supposed to do. You know, I just wanted answers. Why? And then it just got like really nasty. Like overnight, it was just like, you know, there were times where, you know, when you're on tour and you're drinking out, and if I want to go back to the hotel and you don't want to go back to the hotel, how do we work that out? Well, you should walk back with me. You're my husband. And then that fight would start. Oh no, I want to stay hanging out with the boys. Oh, no, but can, and I, but at the time I didn't know how to just let him be, you know, I didn't know. I just wanted my husband because of the circumstances that were around. And I, you know, the job was intense. Everything was intense around us. Family was intense. So there was a lot of pressure, and all I wanted was to protect what I had with him. And eventually we both couldn't take it anymore. And we were both in the same house. And I remember I woke up one morning, and you know, when you sleep with someone, but you don't actually feel them there. It's what it felt like. You know, I would talk to him and I would ask him, so what do you want to do? And then he'd be like, I don't know. So what, do you want to break up? Do you want a divorce? Do you want, like, I don't know. I need time. Okay. So I'll give you time. How much time? So it was just a bit of a waiting game for me in a way sometimes for waiting. And you know what? I respected him that much. And I have a lot of love, I still have a lot of love for my exes, but you know, when you wake up and you know that this is ending today. It really felt like that. It was ending today. And I got out of bed and we looked at each other and we knew. And we talked about it. I left for a couple of days. Then I came back home. You know, when you're in the media, it's hard to talk about your private life because you don't want to. I don't want to tell it. I mean, you know, as a regular person, you know, I'm a regular person. I shouldn't have to tell the world that I'm splitting up from my husband. So we didn't for a bit. You know, we were living together. Sometimes he would stay somewhere else. Sometimes I would stay somewhere else. And then eventually we made the decision to say it to the public, which was hard, you know, because I didn't want to. And we still had to work together. That's the thing. I still had a tour to do. And sometimes guys, you know, like guys and girls, sometimes we just like to put our head under the pillow and not come out for air. So there were certain times that he did that he would disappear and I'd have to deal with work, or I'd do, you know, the same. But I've always dealt with, I'm good at dealing with pressure. I'm good with dealing with work and focusing on things like that, in which he wasn't. So he'd kind of just go and hide and I'd have to kind of face the music pretty much on my own. But, you know, I had to work with him for 2-3 years after we got, you know, separated. And it was hard because you can see how much love you have for one another and the respect. And under different circumstances of better understanding of ourselves, of what we actually needed, and to actually just sit down and have some time for ourselves, I think that it would have worked. Obviously, other things happened. There were other factors that, you know, happened that really hurt us both. But I thought I would have never let go of it. I wouldn't have never let go of it. I would have liked to have fought for it. And it took me a year after we separated to actually let go of him. It took me a long time to cut the umbilical cord that I had connected to him, because it was connected for such a long time and at a completely different level than my first marriage. Because this marriage was what I was always looking for. But it was a great learning. It was a huge learning. I learned a lot, huge lesson for me. Because of that breakup and what I had to go through emotionally, physically, work-wise, in the press and in the public eye, it made me stronger. And it made me kind of realize what I really needed to work on. And that was me.
Wow. That sounds like that's so much to deal with. I can't imagine after I broke up, because we had a similar thing. We were like talking about it. And he broached the subject initially, my ex. And then I was like, well, do you want to break up? Should we get a divorce? And he was like, I don't know. So then we had this time where we were both thinking, but you're like hanging on, like what's going to happen? The tension is building. And then, I came home from, I was away in the States. I came home, walked through the door and I just knew. So I had a similar kind of, and we talked it through and everything. And it was sort of as amicable a breakup as it could be. But then if I had to see him every day, I don't know what I would have done. I definitely needed, because I'm like you, like I still had love for him. And what I think some of the hardest things about a breakup is you still have love for that person, but you're not with them. And then that's confusing. And then you're like, is that okay? Like, when do I let go of this love? But God, if I had to see him every day, I don't think I would have had the distance. Like, I can't believe you had to do that. I remember how hard it was for me to, you know, break the divorce to just my family and friends. And I did a Facebook post in the end just to cover everyone off. But what was it like doing that to the world, breaking the news to the world?
I felt like I wasn't ready to say it. And I felt he was very much for it. And I was hesitant because I didn't want my business out there. This is us. This is our private life. Like, I don't care if I'm, you know, a person that's on TV or whatever. Like, this is my life. Like, I'm a real person. I have feelings. I have emotions. This is my world being broken right now. Like, I mean, I'm shattered. And nobody could ever understand that. Like, oh, you know, let's just say, oh, we've broken up. No, it's not as easy. It's not because then there comes a lot of questions. There was a lot of explanation that had to be done, but a gentle explanations. because I didn't want to really disclose anything because it's nobody's business in a way.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
But I was staying still very protective over my relationship. And so was he, you know, we have a lot of respect for one another because of the fact that we didn't, you know, we don't go on like, you know, gossiping or about each other or you know, no bad mouthing, like nothing horrible happened. I just wish we had time to reflect on what we were doing. You know, we did some therapy sessions. You know, we did some therapy sessions, but there was so much anger. There was so much emotional baggage from both of us that we couldn't see through it. It's hard. It is very hard because there's a lot of things that you're like, I just want to keep it to myself, you know, but at the same time, it's nice to do something like this where after 3 years of, you know, that, you know, being separated from him and everything that's happened, I'm able to actually open up and be more truthful about how I really felt and what really, and I never have to go into details because you don't have to. It's just about the emotional downfall that I had and then how slowly I had to pick up myself as the same as he did. You know, we both went through a lot together, but we were both helping each other out in one way or another.
And how did you deal with that day to day of, you know, when you're going through a breakup and still having to see the other person? Did you try and avoid each other or did you help each other through it? I can't imagine.
Well, we danced together. Sure. So, but you know what? I think that, and we always said this, that when we danced together, that was what we always loved doing. You know, this is how we met. So it was always, we were always very professional when it came to that aspect. And it's something that we both loved doing together. So it wasn't hard to work with him because I enjoyed working with him and I enjoyed, you know, seeing his genius and seeing, you know, and there were times where I wanted to punch him in the face, you know, there were times where you're like, oh, this is why, you know, and it wasn't as bad because we both had a lot of respect.
Do you remember you know, just emotionally for you, a lowest time that you had after the breakup? I always talk about crying on my mum's kitchen floor. And then also actually more recently, and this is like 2 years on, I dislocated my knee over Christmas. And it was like, I was sitting on my own in my mum's house because she's in my support bubble. And she was out walking the dog and I couldn't leave the house. And I was like stranded in this chair. And I, you know, divorce proceedings were coming to a head because only recently officially I'm divorced. And I just felt like so miserable and like I wanted to just disappear and not be here anymore. Do you remember a really, really tough time for you?
I think there were a couple of weeks that were dark. And I had my friends coming around to check up on me. And I had my dog, my rescue dog, Betty. And I think she was my savior because I mean, this dog was with me. It's still with me. But I got up out of bed because of this dog to walk her. And I remember crying. It was so cold outside and I was crying. Like I would walk her out. I would put my hoodie on. I would put like, I have this coat that literally goes over my face and I'd walk her because I knew she needed to be walked. But if anything, she knew that I needed to be walked. I was the one that needed to be out of the house. And, you know, I would cry. I'd take her around the block a couple of times and I'd just cry. And she just, you know, she wouldn't bark at anything. If she would see any other dog, she wouldn't pull. She just walked with me. And I would come home and she wouldn't cuddle with me. Betty's not a cuddler. But she would sit next to me. She would sit next to me. And she knew that I was sad. She knew that I was not in a good place. And she just stood there with me. And there were a couple of weeks like that I was in a hole. You know, but my dog, you know, I rescued her, but she rescued me. She helped me. That was the only reason I got out of bed, because of Betty and because I knew that I had to feed her and take care of her. Because if not, I would have just laid in bed and become part of my mattress if I needed to. And yeah, like you, I just wanted to not feel anything. I didn't want to feel anything. I didn't really, you know, the fact that my family was in New York, my mom, my sister, and my brother are in New York. I mean, they would check up on me. So, I'm glad I didn't have my mom there because she probably would have made me like, you know, or she would have been cooking for me and doing all this stuff. And all I wanted to, I just wanted to be left alone. I just didn't want to talk to anybody, want to see anybody. I just want to be left alone. But, you know, my friends would come around and make sure that I was okay, checking up on me. They had their keys to come in. And and Betty was the one that kind of got me through it. And it was this crying, this crying from like the center of your core, like underneath your diaphragm, like on top of your stomach, like every organ was crying inside of me. I mean, that sounds really dramatic, but that's how I felt. Like every part of my body hurt because I could not believe that my life was just vanishing. This life that I had built, you know, this beautiful relationship that I thought that I had was gone. And I didn't know how I was going to try to get it back or how I was going to go on.
It's so relatable. I think everyone who's been through a divorce, no matter how it came about, has had those moments where, and when you're explaining it, like you were physically like doubling over to explain it. And I think It is that, isn't it? It's like the crying where you can't stand up straight or even sit up straight. It like doubles you in half and like wrings your body out. Those sort of like uncontrollable tears that we've all had. But it sounds like your friends, I love the idea of giving your friends keys so they can come and check on you. I never thought about that. That's a great tip. It sounds like your friends were great for you at that time. What do you think really helped you in that kind of recovery time that other people did?
Yeah, I mean, I had a couple of friends that checked up on me. And especially one friend who has, you know, ever since I kind of went into that dip, she's been like my little floaty. You know, she knows how to pick me up. She knows how to kind of go, okay, let's shake you up. And, you know, she has her issues too. And we have our things but we relate to a lot of things. But the fact that I could be as raw, because I was raw from the inside out. I was open. I was exposed at that time. Like, you know, if you see me on stage or on TV or anything like that, I'm very composed. I know what I'm doing. I'm, you know, centered, you know, I'm balanced, you know, I'm focused, I'm disciplined. I know what I'm doing. In my own home, I was destroyed. I was exposed, you know, gutted out. Sounds really intense, but I felt like I was just open and I couldn't close myself. I couldn't center myself. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know any direction. And what my friends did was they helped me pick up my little pieces and start closing me in, centering me back up, even if it was a small shift a day, talking about it, or not even talking about it, just sitting there with me in the dark. And waiting to see till I talked, because sometimes you don't want to say anything, and then everything is just like replaying in your mind. It's just replay, replay, replay. But the nice thing was that when they were here, they didn't expect me to say anything. They didn't expect me to give an explanation of any kind. They were just there by my side, and whenever I was ready to speak, then I slowly started, you know, melding words or writing down stuff. I write a lot of stuff in my journals and, you know, my computer. Anytime that I could bear to actually write something, I would. But I think the best thing was that they just sat there next to me and they were just there as my guardians, you know, like Betty. Betty can't talk back to me, but even if I wanted to talk to her, she was there. But my friends were, you know, they were the key. You know, my family's, you know, they understand, they know I'm strong and they know that I would get through it. But I didn't think I was going to get through it not as quickly. It took me a very long time. But the process began much quicker than I thought, because I had the right people around me to guide me and to let me experience it. They weren't trying to knock it out of me. I had to experience it. I had to live it. I had to just let it flow through every muscle in my body. Every part of me had to experience that. It's almost like going through detox, you know, you're detoxing from this person and you're trying to, you know, figure yourself out and figure what happened, but you can't figure it out in that moment. It just takes a long time. It takes a long time to kind of let it go and then start identifying, you know, the things. But yeah, my friends were, you know, well, my friend, she's my little guardian angel.
Oh, it sounds so nice. I think it's so important to have a strong network around you. And there is a stage where you don't want to say anything, but then there's a stage where you're just like, I want to talk about it nonstop over and over again. So if yeah, you have an amazing friend that will listen to that nonstop over and over again, it's so useful. So you said you're single, you had a relationship since your marriage. How do you approach dating now? And like, are you shying away from marriage? Do you think you'd ever get married again?
Oh, I love a good party. You know what? Like, I love being in a relationship. I really do. I don't want to shy. I don't shy away from it. I loved being married. I haven't lost my appetite for it, you know, in a way. I love being with someone, taking care of them and taking care of me. But I think that's the thing now. I feel like it's really important for me now to be present in the fact that I have things that I need. So sometimes, you know, when you like someone, you kind of just go, oh, is it okay with you? Oh, is it, you know, are you going to be okay with if I call you or text you, or are you going to text me? Or are you going to call me? And I hate that. I hate the waiting game, this game. I'm like, listen, if you like me, I like you. Let's go. Let's go on a date. Let's talk. And if it doesn't work, let's just be straightforward. Don't waste my time. I don't want to waste your time. You know, I don't want you to waste my time. If it's not working for you, then okay. And if it's not working for me, okay. That's fine. That's fine. So I feel like I'm more a bit straightforward when it comes to that. But still, you know, I get a bit shy sometimes because I'm so straightforward that I get a bit shy. Then I'm like, do you want have dinner? I mean, not that you can come around. Do you want me to send you a Deliveroo and we have dinner over Zoom? But
that sounds great.
Yeah, that sounds great. That's great. But yeah, I'm not. I love being in love. I do. And I can't wait to fall in love again. I can't wait for that. And yeah, I like it. I miss it. I miss it. Yeah, I mean, I had a breakup recently, yes. And it just wasn't right. And I think I was very honest. I had to be honest with myself. That it wasn't going in the direction that I thought it should have, or whatever it was, you know. But I was honest with myself that I didn't want to be in it anymore, and because I was changing and I was feeling differently, and I needed to allow myself that and be honest with myself. And I felt really good after. So, I mean, not great, but, you know, I felt like I took some responsibility in myself.
Yeah, that sounds like a really positive thing. And do you do dating apps? Because a lot of my friends do dating apps, and then people have reported them because they're on telly, and then people think that it's a fake person pretending to be them, and they're like, no, it's really me.
No, I haven't. No. You know, a couple of people slide into my DMs and on Instagram, but no.
I know. Does that ever work? I just have people saying hello. I'm like, what? Hi, what's this?
Yeah, good friends? No, I'm old school. I like meeting people in person or through friends. You know, there has to be that connection there. I need to be able to speak to you, and, like, you know, I need energy. I like banter. I like someone that makes me laugh, and I like, you know, like, I like kidding around. I like making jokes. You know, I'm a bit more of like, I'm a tomboy as well. So I'm not like girly, oh my God, you know, so you're going to take me out to dinner. I was like, you know, I'll be like, yeah, you want to go for a couple of drinks and a couple of shots? You know, should we do some shots? Do you want to get a hot dog? You know, like hamburger, Five Guys? Okay, let's go. So, you know, it's more tacos tonight. So it's more like I'm a little bit rougher on the edges. But that's just the way I am. You know, I've allowed myself to be, you know, sometimes some people will be like, oh, you're a big gangster because you're from New York. And I'm like, no, this is the way that I was raised. You know, I wasn't raised with a silver spoon in my mouth. I don't know what you're expecting from me, but I'm just a girl. I'm just a woman. I'm a woman now. I'm just doing my thing. So you either want to hang or not hang, and then that's fine. So, but no apps. It's too much swiping and wiping and triping and like, no.
Triping sounds like an app for fishermen. So do you remember, because it was actually a listener who got in touch with me and suggested I approach you to get you on the podcast, because they said that, you know, you seem to have transformed your life since your divorce and be doing really well, and they really wanted to hear from you. So do you remember a time when you thought, I'm going to be okay, I'm good?
When, you know, when I thought that, I was putting together a tour, and I remember I got dressed, I bought myself some very expensive shoes. I was like, you know what, I'm going to gift myself today. I can't afford them, but you know what? I'm going to do it. And I got dressed, where I went to a meeting. I sat down in a meeting. I had nothing on my book. Zero ideas. But I sat down and I was like, you know what? I'm going to boss this. I'm going to boss this second, because I am Karen. I'm here. This is what I do. Nothing's going to take me down. And I remember sitting down in this meeting with, you know, agents, music director, choreographer, like just, and they're expecting me to have this whole bunch of, you know, the whole tour set out, all dances, music, everything. I had nothing, but you know what? I came up with it right on the spot. And I was like, yes, this is when you know you're going to be okay. No matter what's happening, you still have your brain, you have your heart, you have yourself to back yourself up, to keep pushing. And I did it, and I did it on my own. And I was so proud of myself because I was scared that I was going to fail at that moment. But I didn't. I remember waking up that morning and getting dressed, getting, you know, shaking it all off. And this was after, you know, a couple of months. And I remember I wore a red dress and like my blue shoes with the red bottom.
Oh, hello, expensive shoes.
Hello. Oh, she went there. So, and I had a nice little belt and yeah, I just got up and I got dressed and I left the house, walked out with my right foot in front. My mom always tells me that when you open that door, take that right foot out. So the first step you're going to take was with your right foot. Okay, let's go. And yeah, and I've been okay since then.
And do you have any advice if anyone's, you know, been listening and can relate to your story or they're still in the midst of that really difficult time? Are there any words of advice or encouragement you'd give them?
You know, we all go through this. I get so many messages as well about, you know, people that are struggling at this time or, you know, through relationships and stuff. And I think is allowing yourself to feel. It's okay. It's okay to allow yourself to feel. It's okay if you have a bad day, if you recognize and you're aware of it, and allowing it to flow through your body for a certain amount of time, and then shaking yourself off, having someone to talk to, you know, and it's sometimes really hard to find someone you trust, you know, it's hard, but go online. There's plenty of TED Talks. There's plenty of podcasts. There's plenty of people out there, you know, that you can do your research, that you can, you know, read books. You know, all I have are books and podcasts, TED Talk, and literally everything, because I wanted to learn more about what I was feeling and why I was feeling like that. And I didn't want to be lazy with myself. I only have me. We only have ourselves. So there's plenty of people out there that are willing to help you, but you have to be willing to help yourself and cry if you need to cry, you know. And I was talking to my friend today, and I was like, today I felt like crying. I had one of these mornings and I'm like, oh, I'm just so something. Something's bothering me today. I want to have a good cry. And then I started crying and I felt good. And then I was just like, so allow yourself to feel. And then when you're happy, enjoy your happiness. Enjoy yourself from the inside and prepare your mind, you know, prepare your body for anything, any shock. You know, this is not something, you know, emotional stress, emotional shocks are harder than, you know, breaking a bone, or because it's things that people don't see. They don't see you suffering. They don't see how you're feeling. They don't see how you're crumbling inside. So if you prepare yourself mentally and physically, you'll be able to handle any shock that comes your way or any little shakeup that you have.
Great advice. Such a pleasure to chat. Where can people follow you on all the social medias and find out about your tours and things?
Well, I'm on Instagram at Karen Hauer. And yeah, you can find all details there, or as well, if you want to, I have a website, howerpower.co.uk. If you guys want to check that out, that's great. So yeah, I mean, I'm always around to lend a helping hand and to just have a chat.
I love it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Samantha.
Oh, hi. Thank you for listening to The Divorce Social with me, Samantha Baines. Please leave us a review. Please. It would be super nice. They're lovely to read. They keep me cheery and happy and keep me going. But also it affects our listing in the
podcast charts, which are very important because that's how more people find the podcast. And I'd love to help more people get through those really tough heartbreak and divorce times. And they're more likely to find us if we're higher up on the charts. So if you'd like to leave a review, I'd love you forever. You can leave them on iTunes is the big one, or most podcast platforms do them as well. I'll take all the reviews you've got to give. You can also get in contact on Twitter and Instagram at DivorcePod and at Samantha Baines. We have a website, thedivorcesocial.com, and we have a Patreon account, which means that you can support the podcast for as little as £2 a month. And it helps me with all the admin costs. It also means you have access to our 90s style divorce and heartbreak chat room. And there's lots of exclusives on there, little bits of audio that you don't get in the main podcast, and some giveaways as well. So I'd love to see you over on Patreon. That's patreon.com/Samantha Baines. And please leave a review. Did I say that already? Ready, please leave a review. Love you forever.